Before we open God's word, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, yet again it is with thankfulness that we approach thee in this afternoon. Thankful to thee, Father, that we can once again gather in the house after having partaken of physical food, a physical meal. Father, we are thankful that now we have a much more important meal before us to partake of thy living word, even as we have meditated from the scriptures this morning and read how man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Father, may we partake of this bread of life with willingness, with gladness, and may we, Father, each look into our hearts to see where the passages that we would read apply to us and where we are perhaps falling short. This we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. This afternoon, with God's help, I'd like to read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, I desire to read the first 30 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, which called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God bless the reading of his In these verses that we've read together, the Lord Jesus speaks to us in 2 parables. The first 13 verses contain a parable of 10 virgins. And the Lord Jesus is using this parable to compare to the kingdom of heaven. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The theme of this parable, these first 13 verses, is one of being prepared, preparedness. How prepared we are to meet our Lord. Because the bridegroom in this parable we can liken unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has gone away for a time, and he promises that he will be returning again. And the exact hour that he will return, of course, we don't know. No man can claim that he knows. If anyone can claim that they know when the Lord is returning, then they're not speaking the truth. That's what God's word teaches us. So the Lord Jesus Christ is as a bridegroom who's gone away, and we now are to be as these virgins prepared for his return. And it says that of these 10 virgins, that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And there's a distinction made between them. And it's described here that those that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So these 10 virgins are divided into 2 groups, foolish and wise. The ones who were foolish didn't take any extra oil with them, and the ones who were wise did. And it says in verse 5 that the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept, meaning they were not prepared. They did not know exactly when the Lord would come. They were not sitting awake, waiting for the bridegroom to come. They had no idea. They were just going about their life, going about sleeping as they usually would. And in verse 6, we read that at midnight there was a cry made. At midnight, when no one would have expected that the bridegroom was coming, that's when he came. There was no forewarning, but he came at midnight, at the time when no one was expecting it. And so the preparation on the part of these virgins now is what mattered. The bridegroom has returned, and these virgins are now going to meet him. What they did in preparation for his coming now makes a difference between whether they will enter in with him or not. It says that all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. At this time, they realize that these foolish virgins, they realize that their preparation was not sufficient. They didn't have enough oil. They didn't take any extra oil, and their lamps were gone out. And they asked the wise, saying, give us of your oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And it says that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So the bridegroom came at midnight. No one was expecting him. And of course, those that were wise, that took extra oil with them, they could enter in. Their lamps had not gone out. They were prepared. And we see here in this illustration that these foolish virgins, they could not have taken oil from someone else. They could not have taken oil from the wise virgins. It had to be their own oil. No other oil could suffice but their own oil that they had bought, that they had prepared. It was a personal oil that they had to have. They could not take from someone else. And these foolish virgins, we can assume that they went and they bought some more oil, and they came back and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And Jesus ends this parable by saying, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So I believe what the Lord Jesus is teaching us with this parable is that our preparation for his coming has to be personal. These 10 virgins, again, split into 2 groups. They were waiting for the bridegroom's return. It doesn't specify where exactly they were waiting, but these 10 virgins looks like they were together. They were together in some place waiting for the bridegroom to come. So even though they were together, these 10 virgins, their personal preparation is all that mattered. And that's the same with us today. As members of a church, we love our church. We love what our church stands for. We love the truths that we believe our church follows according to the Bible. We follow the Word of God, and that's why we love our church. We love to come and to gather together and to fellowship, to build each other up, to share verses that we've read, help each other out. It's biblical. The devil will come to us and say, we don't need anybody else. We can do just fine by ourselves. We don't need to gather with anybody. But that's not according to the Scriptures. For the Scriptures tell us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So it's important for us. And we love to gather. We love to gather together to share the truths of God's Word together. But that being said, the preparation has to be personal on our part. The oil that we take in our lamps, so to speak, has to be our own oil. We can't take it from someone else. It has to be our oil. We can think of it like someone else's oil won't work with my lamp. It won't be compatible. I have to have the oil ready myself. We have to do the preparation ahead of time. At the last second, there won't be enough time. Maybe these foolish virgins thought that there would be enough time. Maybe they thought when the bridegroom returned that there would be enough time between his return and the door being shut that they could go get some more oil. But that time between the bridegroom coming and the door being shut was shorter than they might have imagined. The door was shut. The five wise virgins entered in to be with the bridegroom, and the five foolish were left outside. The door was shut. There was no time. And that's, again, the same for us in this day and age. It's not as if we can, as I'm sure we've all done in school, is cram at the last minute for an upcoming exam. That's not going to be enough. And to trust in someone else's oil that someone else can give me won't be enough. It won't work. It won't be compatible for my life. Someone else's oil will not suffice for me. It has to be our own, again, personal preparation, is what the Lord is trying to tell us here with this illustration. Maybe these foolish virgins thought there would be spare oil. Maybe they thought this place that all the virgins were gathering together, maybe the foolish virgins thought there's going to be a community pot with extra oil that I can take of. But no such thing existed. Again, that's the same for us today. As much as we love the church, as much as we love gathering, we can't put our trust in that to say, oh, now I'm a member of the church, now everybody else will provide for me. Everybody else will give me what I need, but the blessings have to flow both ways. We gather that we would receive a blessing from others, but that we would also give blessings to others. It must flow both ways in order for us to be healthy as believers. We can't just look to see what we can get from others, but what we can give. That's a healthy attitude. It's easy for us to sit back and take no responsibility for anything and just hope that the blessings pour in, but we have to be prepared ourselves, and we have to be prepared to give unto others as well. This goes both ways, is what I believe the Lord's trying to tell us here. So our own personal preparation is the only thing that matters. So the Lord in this parable is the bridegroom, and we as members of the body of Christ, as members of the church, the wider church, the assembly of the believers, we are to be preparing ourselves as the bride of Christ. We are to be preparing for his coming. And we read in God's word that we as the church are to present ourselves as the bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's how we want to be prepared for the Lord's coming, that there be no impurities with us. We would be ready. We'd be ready to present ourselves as the bride to our Lord without any imperfections. Even as the Lord had no imperfection in his life, he came and gave himself an offering for our sins as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. That's the only thing that could cleanse us from our sin, was the blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. So we ourselves are to present ourselves to Christ as his bride, prepared, without wrinkle or spot, as a bride prepares herself for her husband on her wedding day, with no imperfections to be seen. So it's a personal preparation. We can't come to church and expect there to be enough oil for all of us. We have to be the ones that are preparing. We have to be the ones that are walking circumspectly, walking as if we don't know when the bridegroom is going to come. We don't know. We see that these virgins were all sleeping. In verse 5, they all slumbered and slept. But they were not rebuked for that. They were just going up. I think what the Lord is trying to tell us here is they were just going about their lives. They weren't, the virgins were here were not rebuked for their sleeping, but rather they were just, I believe, going about their daily lives. And when the cry came, when no one expected it, the wise virgins were already ready. The timing of their Lord's return didn't matter to them because they were ready. When exactly the Lord was going to come didn't make a difference to them because they were prepared. They had oil with them. They were prepared. Whether he came at midnight or whether he came at 6 a.m., whether he came at noon the next day, or whether he came weeks later, it didn't matter to these wise virgins. They were ready. And that's the same again for us today. Whether the Lord comes now or whether he comes in 10 years or whether he comes in 50 years, it doesn't matter to us if we're ready. If we have oil ready in our lamps, if the preparation has been made personally, then we're ready. We can't rely on anybody else. When the Lord comes, it's going to be too late. There's going to be no time to go get ourselves prepared and then go enter in, because the door will be shut. The door will be shut, and this bridegroom will say, "I know you not. I don't know who you are. You claim that you are ready for me, but I don't know who you are." That's a sobering thought, but that's what the Lord's going to tell us. If we don't walk in a way in which we are preparing ourselves for his coming, if we're not looking into his word and loving his word and preparing ourselves by looking into his word and seeing imperfections in our lives and correcting them, if we're not doing this, we are as the foolish virgins who had not enough oil in their lamps. And we can't depend on anybody else. Again, we can't depend on the church to give us of the church's oil, because it won't work. It has to be our oil. So the Lord is teaching us in these first 13 verses about personal preparation for his return, and how we are not to worry about the exact hour of his return, but that won't matter to us as long as we are ready at all times. And in this second half of these verses that we read, verses 14 through 30, the Lord is giving us another parable. And this Bible here says it's the parable of the talents. And Jesus, again, as he always did, he compares something to the kingdom of heaven. He's using an illustration of common everyday life to paint a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says here that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So just as in the first 13 verses, we can compare the Lord Jesus to this bridegroom, here in verses 14 through 30, we can compare our Lord to this man that has traveled into a far country. The Lord has gone into a far country as far as we're concerned. We know he's in heaven. We can't see it. We don't know exactly where it is. The Lord has shielded our eyes that we would not see heaven, because he wants us to have faith. So for us, we can look at the Lord as having gone into a far country. He's gone away for a time, and he's giving us talents. We are now these servants. We can liken ourselves to these servants. This man gave his servants 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and another 1. And we have also received many talents from the Lord, many gifts. And these gifts are varying. The gifts that we have are all different, and the amount that we've been gifted also varies. It's not for us to look around and to worry about who has 5 and, oh, I only have 2. That's not for us to worry about. What we are to worry about is what we do with the talents that we've received. Whether we are as one man that has received 5 talents or whether we've only received 1, it doesn't matter. We are to use these talents to please our Lord, to get a return. And that's the theme of these verses, is that we would work with what we've been given to give a return to our Lord. Because every man was given these talents according to his several ability. According as this master gave it to his servants, he gave them talents based on what he thought their ability was to work with them. And again, if we've only received 2 talents and our brother or our sister might have received 5, it's not up to us now to look on our brother and sister with bitterness and to think, why did they receive 5? Why do I only have 2? We are to praise God that he's maybe given other gifts to others and some to ourselves. It's not for us to worry about. We're not to be bitter or to be angry, but we're to be thankful that the Lord has given to us all talents. We all have something. We've all been given something. We've all been given something from the Lord. Now, it's up to us to decide what to do with that talent, with those talents that we've been given, whether we've been given 5, 2, or 1. It really doesn't matter. Whatever we have is what we are to do, what we are to use, what we are to work with. Even this past Wednesday, we read about what kind of fruit are we bringing forth for our Lord? What are we preparing for? What are we preparing for Him? Will the Lord come and see the fruit of our tree, so to speak, and will He curse us that we would wither away? Or will He come and find fruit on our tree and be thankful for that? That depends on what we do with the talents that we've been given. We all have different abilities. We all have different capacities, and the Lord knows that. He knows us perfectly because He created us. He knows what we can do. He knows what's beyond our abilities and what's according to our abilities. So it's not up to us to look around, but just to simply wisely use these talents that we've been given. And so we read that the man that received 5 talents went, and he traded with those 5 talents, and he made them other 5 talents. He got a 100% return. His master gave to him 5 talents, and he went away into a far country. And this servant that received the 5 talents labored for his master. He took these 5 talents and got 5 more, a 100% return on investment. And likewise, the servant that received 2 talents, he also went, he worked, and he got 2 more. So we are not now to compare and say, oh, this first servant was better because he got 5 talents and the second servant only got 2. That's not the point here. The point is they both got 100% of what they were given. They both returned a 100% return on investment. And the Lord, He was pleased with them. This master is pleased. This man that had the 5 talents, he came and rejoiced. He came and rejoiced. He couldn't wait to go tell his master. He says, here, you've given me 5 talents. I'm giving you back 5 more. He was rejoicing. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And likewise, the man that received 2 talents, he came also rejoicing and says, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. He's pleased. And his Lord was also pleased with him. And he had the same response to this servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the response here was the same. This man that had received 5 talents and gotten 5 more, he got the same response as the man that had 2 talents and he received and he produced another 2. Because they both gave their all. They both got a complete return on the talents that they were given. So again, now it's not for us to compare ourselves with others and to think I'm somehow I'm giving more of myself. Somehow I'm producing more of the Lord. That's not for us to do. We're not to look around. Because the Bible says when we compare ourselves among ourselves, it says we're not wise. And I believe, again, it was this past Wednesday that we heard, who are we going to compare ourselves to? We're going to compare ourselves to the one that we would think is producing the least and think, oh, I'm better than that person. We're never going to compare ourselves with the best among us because that would make us maybe not look so good. So we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves because the Bible says that's not wise. We're just simply to use what we've been given and return it to the Lord, to work, to labor in His vineyard. As again, we know that there is much work to do, the Lord Jesus says. There's much work to be done in His vineyard, but the laborers are few. There are few that have decided to take up their cross and to follow their Lord and to work for Him while they're on this earth. But we are to be working with what we have. Whether it's 5 talents or whether it's 2, it doesn't matter. We are to be working with what the Lord has given unto us according to our ability. And the Lord makes no mistakes when He gives us these talents. He knows what we're all capable of. And now we get to the last servant that received the 1 talent. And this man that received the 1 talent, he doesn't come with the same rejoicing that the other 2 came with. But he just comes and tells his Lord, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. So while his master went away into a far country, this man that received the 1 talent, he didn't give back to his Lord 100%. He didn't say, oh, you gave me 1 talent, now here's 2. He just says, I was afraid of you, and I went and buried this in the earth. I did nothing with it, is what this last man says. He did nothing with his talent. He did nothing with his gift that the Lord gave him. At no point do we see here that this man is comparing himself to the others and maybe he's angry. We don't see that. For all we know, he doesn't even know that he received less than the others. But all he says is that he went and buried it. He did nothing. He did not do anything for his Lord with the talent that he was given. And he says here to his Lord that he knows that his Lord is a hard man. And really, what that shows here is that this man doesn't even know who his Lord is. And how does that apply to us? Are we now to take the talent that we've been receiving, that we've received from the Lord, and are we now to go and bury it? And to say, Lord, I know you're a hard man. I know you expect a lot. So I just buried it. I'm giving it back to you. What we're doing then is we're admitting that we don't know who our Lord is. We don't know his character. Because his Lord says, why didn't you at least go to the bank? He says, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So this master is saying to this one man that just buried his talent, he said, you could have at least gone to the exchangers. You could have at least gone to those who exchange money, the banks, we could say. You could have at least gone to them and given them your talent, and you could have at least given back a little bit of something with a little bit of interest. You didn't even do that. That would have taken so little effort, but at least you could have given me something. But the Lord says, you didn't even do that. You just went and buried it. And so we see here in the character of this Lord, we see the character of our Lord. He's not a hard man where he's looking for us, cracking the whip, so to speak, into seeing how much he can drive from us. But he's kind. He's patient with us. He wants us to use these talents that we've been given wisely. And so this last servant that just buried his talent, he's really saying he has no idea what his Lord is like. And he was lazy. He did nothing. He didn't even go to the bank. He didn't even go to the bank and get a little bit of interest with that talent. He just buried it and gave it back to him. No return on investment. That's saying, Lord, you've given me many gifts, but I did nothing with them. Here I am. I'm presenting you to myself. I'm presenting you as myself to my Lord, and I have nothing more to give than what you've given me. That's not what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for us to use whatever talent, whatever gift we've been given to work for his kingdom, to do something. Whether he's looking us to reproduce one talent or five, he's looking for us to just do the best we can. That's what the Lord's asking for us. He knows that my ability might not be as great as your ability. And that's why the Lord distributes his talents as he does, because he knows what we're capable of, and he doesn't make mistakes. The Lord's just saying, do the best you can with what you've been given. Don't be lazy and go bury it in the ground. It's as if when we're baptized, now we just sit in one place. We're baptized, we sit in one place, we're content, and we're just waiting for our Lord's return. That's what it means to do nothing with the talent we've been given. But Jesus is saying, follow me. That means he's walking, he's progressing, he's going places, and he's saying, come with me. Follow me, go wherever I'm going, be led of me, the Lord Jesus is telling us. Come do some work for me. Don't just sit in one place and twiddle your thumbs until I return. But the Lord's saying, come, follow me. And he's showing us what it is that we need to do. And the Lord reveals unto us through his Holy Spirit what exactly he wants us to do before he would return. We think of the Holy Spirit in a way in which he leads us, he directs us, he guides us. It's not always in a negative manner. Yes, there are times when the Holy Spirit will tell us, don't do that, don't go there, don't listen to this, don't watch this. The Lord, through his Holy Spirit, will tell us those things. But he also tells us in a positive manner, do this, go talk to this person. Go help this person. Go give of your time, your effort, your energy in this place. So it's not always negative, but the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, is showing us how to use the talents we've been given. It's not as if we had the excuse to say, I've been given a talent, but I don't know what to do with it. So I don't want my Lord to be mad with me. I just went and buried it. That means we're not listening to the Holy Spirit at all when he's telling us exactly what the Lord wants from us. So it's not as if the Lord just gives us these talents and goes in a faraway country and leaves us on our own. But he shows us exactly through his Holy Spirit what to do, how to produce fruit, that we would not be as the barren fig tree. But the Lord shows us directly what to do. So we have to be ready to listen to that voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to us. If we're ready to receive whatever it is that he would have for us, then we will be producing fruit. We will be taking these talents and presenting them to the Lord and saying, Lord, you gave me two talents. Here's two more. I did something with them. Maybe I'm not as gifted as my brother or my sister, but it's okay. I've given you the best I can. And the Lord will see that effort and he'll bless it. And he'll tell us if we've done that Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those are the words that we, I believe, cannot wait to hear. Those are the words that we look forward to with great anticipation. We want to hear those words. That's why we gather, is it not? We want to hear those words at the end of our life. We want to hear those words that we have been faithful with what we've been given. But again, what does that require on our part? It requires a preparedness where we have oil in our lamps. And the exact moment of our Lord's return doesn't matter. We're ready. And it means using the talents that we've been given to produce more for the Lord's honor and for His glory, because it's not for ours. If we take the talents we've been given and we give back to the Lord, it's not as if we're seeking our own glory, but we're seeking that the Lord would be glorified through us. That when others look at us, they would see Jesus. That's really what modesty is. When we live in a modest manner, it means we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We want someone to look at us and to see the Son of God, not to see us. Not our own attitudes, not our own interests, but we want them to see Jesus living in us. And when someone sees Jesus living in us, that means we're prepared. That means we have oil in our lamps. And that means we're using these talents we've been given to bring forth fruit to the Lord's honor and to His glory. And we rejoice and we say, Lord, I'm thankful you've given me however many talents you've given me. So here it is, 100% return. I gave the best I could. That's what's required on our part, to do the best we can with the gifts that we've been given. May God lead us and direct us to that end, that we would be with Him forever. Amen.